Okay, today's daf is Shkalim, daf Chaf. We're on the topic of finding food on the road and determining what you're allowed to do with it. Right, eagle deguvna ishtakach pundikad Levi. So a wheel of cheese was found by Levi's home. Vitiru mishum shnei tvarim mishum tzia mishum rov mahalchei drache, and they permitted the person to keep it and to eat it on behalf of two things. The first, on behalf of a metzia, that he was allowed to keep it, even though it was a found object and probably belonged to someone else. And the second, that on behalf of most of the people coming through there were keeping kosher. Mishum metzia tani matzil v'yada gaiis miyada ari mishuna tayam mishuna danar mi'istra gidola mpaltia gidola harei l'shalom nishabali metzia shin mehen mishum rov mahalchei drache mishum givina nochri. Right, first thing they permitted it from as a metzia, they permitted it because this is an area that was a public area that we presume that the owners had given up on it. And then the second thing was, you may have a concern that this was cheese made by a non-Jew, but because most of the people around were Jewish, we can assume that it was kosher cheese, and we assume that the original owner gave up on it because it's a public area. Ishtakach min d'Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yossi, and in fact, it was found that this the cheese belonged came from the house of Rabbi Elazar bar Yosi, so it was clearly kosher. Amar Rabbi Mana Kumi Rabbi Yosi va'anan chamyon rabbanan machrizin. In spite of what we just taught, that you're allowed to keep them, what the rabbanan do is they announce it. Announce that an object was lost, give the opportunity for the original owner to come back and get it. Amar le at in havita mishkach lo enasbat. Rabbi Yona Avuch lo Amar Ken. So Rabbi Yosef said back to Rimana, what, if you found a lost object in a public area, you wouldn't keep it, right? But your own father, Rabbi Yona, was not of the same opinion that he wouldn't keep it, right? He would say, El Amar Halvai Ked Nashkach Nishkach Pe Min Piusa Ulegav, right? He would say that, you know, Halavai, it should be that if I find something, I find it close to a public area so that I can go ahead and keep it. Afilu ken eshkach v'lo nasiv. Right? Even given that statement, he would, if he found something, he would go ahead and announce it. Behema shenimtze mirushalayim vad migdal ha'eder get umishna. If an animal was found between Yerushalayim and Migdal ha'eder, who kumidata l'kol ruach, or that same distance in any direction, zicharim olot, nekevot zivcheshlam. You can assume that the male animals are korban olot, and the female animals are shlamim. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Harawi L'Psachim Psachim Korim L'Regel Shloshim Yom. If you find it within 30 days of Pesach, then anything that's fit to be a Korban Pesach, you have to assume it's a Korban Pesach. Brishon Hayu Mimashkinin Et Motzi'eha Aj Shehu Mevi Nisacheha. Originally, if you brought in that animal, they would hold collateral until you bring the necessary nisachim to slaughter the animal. Chazru liyod manichin otahu borchin itkin obeitin shu nisachim ba'in shal tzibor. And what happened is anyone who found an animal would just leave it there, and they wouldn't do anything with it. So the Beitin made a stipulation that you should bring the nisachim, the libations from the communal funds. There are seven similar gzeiras made by the Beit Din, and that's one of them. Here are the other ones. If a non-Jew sent the Korban Ola from far away, and he sent it with libations, so you slaughter it with those libations, but if he didn't, then you can still slaughter it, and you use the community funds to fund the libations. Achen gershem et v'niach zvachim, im yesh lo nesachim kreven shalom, v'im lav kreven mishal tzibor. If a non-Jew, if a convert dies and he leaves over animals for korbanot, so if he has libations as well, so then you use his libations. If not, you can fund him with the community funds. V'tanai beidin hu al kohen gadol shemet. And there's a stipulation that if a kohen gadol dies, shetem minchato kreven mishal tzibor. Right, that his mincha, daily mincha offering, basically the Kohen Gadol has to bring a daily mincha offering from his own house, and if he dies and there hasn't been time to appoint a new Kohen Gadol, so we bring the korban mincha from the community funds. Rabbi Yehuda shetehe minchato kreva mishal. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishal yorshin. Rabbi Yehuda says no, you should actually bring it from his inheritors. Ushlema haita kreva, and you should slaughter it whole. You should bring the korban mincha whole, meaning in general, you make one portion and you bring half of it in the morning, half in the evening, and or in the afternoon. But the instruction here is to bring it whole, all at once. Al hamelach vala etim shiyu akonim ne'utin bahen. The salt and the wood, the kohanim from the korban, the kohanim are allowed to get personal benefit from. Ve'al hapara shlo yu mo'ilin ba'afra, right, that there shouldn't be a me'ila institution by the ashes of the para aduma that was burnt up. Val ha kinin hapsulo chiyu ba'ot mishal tzibor, and the kinin, the bird pairs that were found to be pasul, their replacements should come from community funds. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hamasapek the kinin, hu misapek et hapsulo. Rabbi Yossi says what we taught earlier, that someone whoever is working with the Beit HaMikdash to supply the bird pairs, they have to make up for the pasul ones. Rabbi Hoshia Rabba Amar Livva B'dmehen Shanu. So Rabbi Hoshia the Great clarifies the following point. Right now, if you find a male animal, right, it seems difficult that you just kind of assume that it's an ola, because a male animal can also be a shlamim. The shlamim can be a male or a female. Yet we just assume it's an ola. So how do you just slaughter a male animal as an ola when it could be a shlamim? So Yoshia the Great said that what we're talking about is when you're not actually bringing the animal, rather you're fixing the situation through monetary means. So what you have to do is like this. You have an animal in front of you. You have a male animal in front of you, right? So you basically, you take the value of that animal twice. And then you deconsecrate that animal. You say, if this animal is an ola, let it be deconsecrated onto this money. If the animal is a shlomim, let it be deconsecrated onto that money. And if it's a shlomim, then the ola should be an adava. And if it's an ola, then the shlomim should be an adava. And then you take that groups of money. With the ola money, you buy an ola. With the shlomim money, you buy a shlomim. And then you go out and buy both korbanot to bring them. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan omri lo la'adam tse'u me'ol v'kotchim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, this can't be. How do you tell a person, take a perfectly good animal for a korban and to deconsecrate it? You're not allowed to do such a thing. Ela hilchu bahen achar harov imrov zcharim olot imrov nekevo zivche shlamim. Rather, you should have to go by a majority. And sure, a male animal could be brought as an ola, could be brought as a shlamim, but most male animals are brought as olas, and most female animals are brought as shlamim, right? And that's how we resolve it. Ve'ein hashlamim ba'im min zcharim min nekevot. The Gemara rejects that answer. Says, well, like, is that true? Even what most male animals that you find are olot? They could be brought as shlamim. What, like, why do you assume that they're more often brought as olot? I don't have that information. Do you have that information? Why would you assume that one is more often brought? Ketzad hu oseh? Rather, how should he resolve the problem? Motzin lechulin vechozer veoseh otan. You have to wait for it to develop a blemish, and then you designate it as an ola or a shlamim, or rather as an ola. Amar Rabbi Zeira, kemada at amar teman tnai beit din hu al hamotarot shikruvu olot, kenat amar uf achatana beit din hu al haovdot shikruvu olot. So here's a different answer. Well, just as we said that there was a stipulation of Beit Din that a leftover chatat should be brought as an ola, so here too we have a stipulation that if this is lost, the male animal should be brought as a korban ola. There's a stipulation from the beginning, and that's why it's brought as an ola. Am Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Ein Ze Mezid. Or rather, a question. In the mezid, so the question was asked, what is this not considered an intentional change of one's kedusha state, of a state of kedusha for the animal? Amar le mekivan shutanai beitin, in the mezid. No, it's not considered an intentional change of the kedusha state of the animal, because this was a stipulation from beitin in the beginning. Amar Rabbi Yasa ada de ana taman. So Yasa said, well, I was there in Babel, shamit kal Rav Yehuda shal lishmuel hifrishik levamed amar li pulundava. So I heard Rabbi Yehuda asking Shmuel what happens if someone separates a shekel and he dies. And Shmuel said that it falls to an adava. Umotar esivta eifa shelo. And what about the leftover tenth of an eifa for the Kohen Gadol's mincha offering? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yolicham Liyam HaMelech. Rabbi Yochanan says that you get rid of them in the Yam HaMelech. Rabbi Lazar Amar Yipul Nadava. Rabbi says they should they fall to voluntary offerings. Esivta eifa shel Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chutza Chotzeota v'chargach Mikadja. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar Mikadja v'chargach Chotzeota. Right. So when it comes to the offering, the mincha offering, the Kohen Gadol, there's a machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, first you cut it in half, and you consecrate each half separately. Then Rish Lakish says, no, first you consecrate the whole thing, right, and then you cut it into halves. As I said earlier, that the mincha offering of the Kohen Gadol was brought in halves. Manita pligi el Rabbi Yochanan. And there's a Mishnah that seems to contradict Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, the Mishnah and Menachot about a Kohen Gadol who had died, and then a new Kohen Gadol was had replaced him that day. So originally in the morning, the original Kohen Gadol's whole Asirita Eifa was designated. So what happens? Makriv Mechta Mechtaben. Right, that half of it is brought in the morning, and the other half is destroyed because the new Kohen Gadol is going to bring his. Right, but it's interesting that, or it's problematic for Rabbi Yochanan that it's destroyed, because if you cut it in half first and then consecrate it, seemingly the second half was not consecrated. Right, in which case it wouldn't need to be destroyed. It just was never kodesh. No, Pater La Shekena Fiilu Meot Yilchu Liham Hamelach. So you can resolve that issue by saying that Rabbi Yochanan is of the Shita that even the leftover money goes to Yom HaMelech. Meaning any money designated for a korban, it doesn't matter whether it was kadosh yet. It matters whether it was set aside. Once it's set aside, then it needs to be gotten rid of. Right? And so, sure, it's not kodesh yet because you cut it in half before you sanctify the first half, but it was still designated for a korban, so it's not fit for anything else. But I need to believe the Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, a Mishnah, also contradicts Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Shita, Nimtzu Shnei Chatzayin Kreven V'Shnei Chatzayin Avudin, right? Because in such a scenario, right, you have two halves that were brought as a korban and two halves that were left to be destroyed, right? The Kohen Gadol's, the original Kohen Gadol's first half was brought in the morning and the second half was destroyed, and the new Kohen Gadol's second, half was brought in the afternoon, and then one of his halves has to be destroyed. And it was taught that that both of these halves, they need to change their form, and then they go to the Beit HaSreifa. But wait, if they had a full level of Kedusha, as Reish Lakish says, that they're all sanctified at once, you don't need an Ibur Tzura, right? Because once you made something Kodesh, and then it can no longer be brought, that is considered an intrinsic psul. It's an intrinsic disqualification of the thing. And Ibur Tzura is only when we have an extrinsic problem, or a suffix as to whether there was an issue here. But this is an intrinsic problem, right? It was Kodesh, and it can't be brought. That's considered an intrinsic psul, in which case it can just be burnt right away, because it's never going to be fit to be brought, right? And so why do we need the Ibur Tzura? Why do we need the appearance to be changed? So there is this opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that says that once the flour is measured, if anything happens to it beyond that, it needs to be destroyed and it does not require an Ibur Tzura. So Reish Lakish was just following that opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. And yeah, he argues on the Mishnah, but okay. Rabbi Shmuel was just following a different Shita, no problem. So when the Kohen goes to do his Avoda for the first time, maybe a Sveta Eifa Shalo, ve Ovda Biyado. Right, so the Kohen brings his own Asirita Eifa, and he prepares it with his own hands. Achar Echad Kohen Gadol Echad Kohen Hediot Sha'avdu Ad Shelo Heviu Asirita Eifa Shelahem Avodatan Kshera. Right? And whether it was a Kohen Gadol, meaning the Kohen Gadol had to bring his Asirita Eifa every single day. A normal Kohen has to just bring it for the first time. It's like his inauguration. And in either event, if the Avoda was done before they brought it, the Avoda is considered kosher. Rabbi Mana ba'i Meimar bo b'yom shenitkarev tchila le'avoda bo b'yom nitmana liyot kohen gadol mevishtayim echad lechinucho v'echad lechuvat hayom. If a kohen's day where he's appointed as the kohen gadol is also his first day as doing avoda, then he should have to bring two: one for his inauguration and one because he's kohen gadol. Two fi ne. Okay, so when it comes to the mincha, it says it needs to be baked. Two fi ne. The bread needs to be baked. B'shat hava tu feini ve'in b'shacharei tu feini. Right, and we understand based on the word he must bring it. Afterward, he must bring it baked. We understand that at that time it's baked. It's baked right before it's brought. It's not baked in the morning, prepared in advance, and then just brought in whenever. Brought in much later in the day. But then we teach that we appoint people to make the chavitin, and they make them every day in advance. So what is it? Do we cook it right before we bring it, or do we have people whose job it is who do it far in advance? Amar Bichia Bar Acha Lasot Chamin Le Ravucha. Okay, so yeah, the people making the chavitin are not actually cooking the bread; they're just preparing the waters for it. But it's cooked right before it's brought. To Fine, Rabbi Yeshua b'Shem Rabbi Chanina Metagna v'Charkach Ofa Ota. Rabbi Acha b'Shem Rabbi Chanina Ofa Ota v'Charkach Metagna. It's a debate as to how exactly it was prepared. So Rabbi Yassa says, first you fry it, and then you bake it. And then and Rabbi Acha says, no, first you bake it, and then you fry it. So everyone agrees how it needs to be prepared, baked, and fried. But there's a question of what comes first. A similar machloket, and we're about to explain why it's similar, is in what tufine seems to imply. Tufine te'afena no, right? So it means bake it partially. Na is not fully cooked, right? Bake it, but don't fully cook it. Rabbi Omer, tufena na eh. Rabbi says you should bake it and it should look good. It should look like good looking bread. Rabbi Dosa Omer tefena riba. So Rabbi says cook it a lot. Atian elin palgvata kehanin palgata. We can see that this debate is like that debate. Manda amar teafena na eh. Kamanda amar ofe vekarkach matagna. One says it should look good. Says first bake it and then boil it and then fry it, and that's what's going to make it look the best. Mandamar tefina na, kamanda amar metagna v'charkach ofa. And the one who says that you should cook it, you should bake it partially cooked, well, he must say that you fry it first and then you bake it, right? Because how do you bake it when it's already partially cooked? Well, it must have been cooked a little bit first through frying it. Lo sof davar shemeit. Up until now, we discussed what's done with the Asir et Ha'efa when the Kohen Gadol dies, but it's not only a case of when he dies. There are other instances where you have to apply these questions. El afilu nitma, right? What if the Kohen Gadol becomes tameh after he separates his Asir et Ha'efa? Afilu nitcha mimum, or what if the Kohen Gadol develops a mum, a certain blemish that renders him unfit to do the avoda? What about in that case? Tani Rabbi Yehuda bar Pazi devar dalia afilu nitcha mimum. Right? In fact, that yes, if the Kohen Gadol develops a mum at some point after separating it, then everything that we taught about the Kohen Gadol who dies should be all those dinim should apply to the Kohen Gadol who develops a mum. Minayin the Kohen Gadol shemeid velo minu acher tachtav shetem minchato kreva mishel yorashim. So how do we know that the Kohen Gadol who dies and the replacement is not yet appointed, that we bring a new mincha from his inheritors, Tamalomar Mibanav Yaseota, from his children, we should make it. Yachol Yivena Lachatzayim, and you may assume that you'd bring it in halves, like the Kohen Gadol brings it in half in the morning, half in the evening, Tamalomar, Ota. But Pasuk says, bring it, which means bring it whole, Kula Amarti, right? Bring the entire thing, not in halves, like the Kohen Gadol brings in the morning, the afternoon. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's a Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ina Ba Ella Mishel Tzibor. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, the community takes care of it. Shneamar Chok Olam. Mimisha Brit Shelo, Misha Brit Kruta Lo. Right, so it says Chok Olam, right, that this is a covenant that is established for all time. And so, who is responsible for it? Those who are involved in the covenant. Right, the covenant between the community, right? Klil tiktar, klil lahakdara, right? That it should be completely burnt up. But nonetheless, we see from that pasuk that from the fact that this covenant is established with the community, meaning God's covenant is with all of Klal Yisrael. In which case, when this pasuk about bringing the mincha refers to the covenant, so then it's clear that only those involved in the covenant, meaning the community, the Klal Yisrael, are responsible at the end of the day for making sure this korban is brought if there's no Kohen Gadol around. Kohen Gadol Shemet. Okay, the Mishnah talk about Kohen Gadol who died. Rabbi Ba Bar Mamal Ba'i Michlofa Shitate de Rabbi Shimon. Right, Taman Amar Mishel Yorshin V'Hacha Amar Mishel Tzibur. We have an issue with Rabbi Shimon's Shita, because originally we had taught that Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that the inheritors of the Kohen Gadol are supposed to bring it. And here he says that seemingly you learn from the Torah, from the actual Pasuk, that it has to be brought from the community, Chok Olam. Amar Rabbi Chia tries to resolve this. Rabbi Chia Barba says, V'lo Ye'ut, hu makshe? Or Rabbi he confirms the question. He says, well, it's a good question. Ata Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Rabbi Avau B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Divar Torah hu shiteh ba min tzibor. Here's the resolution. On a Torah level, it should be brought from the tzibor. That's what the Torah indicates, right? Kevan dechazi deka midchaka lishka hayti omer yigbu la min ayorshin. Kevan dechazi depash ayba hitkinu shiteh ba mitrumat lishka. So on a Torah level, sure, it's supposed to be brought from the community. It's supposed to be brought from the inheritors. However, it was clear that the inheritors were not always doing it, and there was some problems surrounding it. So they made an institution that it should be done, that it should be brought from communal funds. And that's how you resolve, meaning this is, on a Torah level, it should be brought. Sorry, just to clarify something. The issue is that Rabbi Shimon says that there's a Tanai Beit Din, right? Remember, let's recall, he mentioned there's a Tanai Beit Din. There's a stipulation of the Beit Din that it should come from the community, right? Here, in what the source that we just saw, he darshans out on a Torah level that it comes from the community, right? Now, that's the issue. He says community both times, but one, he seems to indicate that it's a Gzera Derabanan, right? And one, he seems to indicate that that's actually what the Torah is indicating. That's our problem. Rabbi Shimon originally says that it's a Tanai Beit Din, meaning on a Torah level, it should be brought from the Yorshim. Right? He never says it's brought from the Yorshim. He says it's a Tanai Beit Din that it's brought from the Tzibor, meaning on a Torah level, it should be brought from the Yorshim. Now he's saying that, actually on a Torah level, it should be brought from the community. So how do we understand that? Well, Yaakov Ar-Ivi resolves it as follows. He says that when Rabbi Shimon says that it's a Tanai Beit Din that it's brought from the community, it's not to say that on a Torah level it should be brought from the Yorshim. That's not what he's implying. On a Torah level, it's brought from a normal communal fund, right? They saw that it wasn't always being used for it properly, so they set aside a special fund just for this, right? So when he said it's a Tanai Beit Din that it comes from this fund, it is a Tanai Beit Din that comes from this fund because it's a unique fund just for the Siyuta Eifa. It's not to imply that on a Torah level it doesn't come from the community at all and it comes from the Yorshim. No, just on a Torah level it comes from a different fund. Okay, we'll stop here.